بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقال الرسول: يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. بآواز بلند صلوات، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jami'an و رحمت الله و برکاته. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا ان هدانا الله. We've been talking about the significance of Quran, the importance of being with the Quran and the Holy Quran being with us. There is one recommendation from the Holy Prophet of Islam for those who open a house, inshallah, by the grace of God, whether once they get married, they are already married and are maintaining the necessities of their houses, that the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, for all men and women who are in charge and care about the best of their children and the household members, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has given four recommendations. Inshallah, we remember to implement them. The first, the Prophet says that make sure that you don't turn your house into graveyard. Make sure your house is not a cemetery. Second, make sure that you always light up your house, and a kind of lighting up that does not cost you a penny. You don't need to pay for electricity, but make sure that every day your house is light up. The third is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says that make sure that every day you invite a guest to your house. Every single day and night you invite a guest, a special guest, who is going to bless your house a lot. And finally, don't go to bed unless already the house is clean. Cleanse your house before you go to bed and you sleep. Ya Rasulullah, explanation required, please. The Prophet says that when I tell you that don't turn your house into cemetery and the graveyards, meaning that houses in which Quran is not recited is rather a cemetery. Don't make your house a cemetery. Subhanallah, from this we can tell, unlike what we think that Quran is recited only to the dead people or at the cemetery or at the majlis when we have for the wafat of someone, on the contrary, the Prophet is recommending that sign of being alive is that you read Quran and Quran is read to you. So Quran, the Prophet says, لا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا. Don't make your houses as cemetery and the graveyards. Meaning that if the members of this house are alive, Quran should be recited in this house. Otherwise, like, it's just like they are dead, like as if this house is a cemetery. The second, the Prophet says, when I told you to light up the house without paying a penny for electricity, the Prophet says, نَوَّرُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ بِتَلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Light up your houses by reciting the Qur'an. The more you recite Qur'an in your house, the more your house will be glittering and shining for the heavenly creatures, inasmuch as in a clear night you see the stars in the sky. Okay, so light up your houses spiritually. Inviting the guest, a very honorable guest to your house, obviously the Prophet is talking about inviting the Quran in your house. We spoke about this when the revelation of the Quran in one night makes that night a blessed night. So blessed that that night becomes worth more than 8 years of life. One night becomes more than 8 years. And please, this 8 years, God knows best about His words. Most likely, apparently, this is just a figure of a speech. Not that God doesn't mean like 80 days, 8 years mean that not 81 or 79. It's a figure of a speech, meaning that a good span of life, 8 years, one night with the Quran is worth more than the whole life of a normal mankind without the Quran. So if revelation of the Quran in one night makes that night Laylatan Mubarakah, a blessed night, expands that blessing to the month, makes the whole month Shahrun Mubarak, Ramadanun Mubarak. Surely, if you invite Quran to your house and you read Quran at home every night, you are blessing your house. You are repelling shayateen from your house. You are inviting, I'm not scaring you, don't be scared of jinn when the name of jinns are mentioned, because among the jinn there are believers, very good jinn that help. That the Quran quotes and says that when they hear the Quran says, "Inna sami'na Quran an ajaba." Wow, what is this? They are interested. So there are benefits for your house and your households, brothers and sisters. I like to share this in these nights just to like to inshallah we create new culture among ourselves. There is nothing wrong with that. That when we invite visitors over. Ladies, as part of the ingredients that you prepare for the guests, gents also as well. You know how some people, they have this good habit of hadith kisa, reciting hadith kisa as part of the ceremony that they have. What's wrong with having Quran in like as part of the agenda in our gathering and socializations as well? We are going to get together for a couple of hours, especially in the month of Ramadan. Couple of hours of sitting and chit-chatting and talking. There is nothing wrong to say that, brothers, is it possible, part of the agenda, the host can really manage this and control this very well. Brothers, tonight also we want to read one page of the Quran for the blessing. Isal al-Sawab to my grandfather, whoever has passed away of this house. Everybody will be happy about it. That Quran becomes part of our life. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally said that, what was the fourth one? Make sure that the house is clean before you sleep. Meaning that the Prophet says, when you read Quran before you go to bed, the sins of your day will be erased and cleansed. Recitation of the Quran, when you finish your day with the Quran, this blessed Quran, one of the benefits of it is that it's counted for you as repentance to God. Who doesn't want this? Let us live with the Quran. Bring Quran as like major part of our daily and life activities. With all respects, inshallah, I know that you don't have this problem, but I have observed there are Islamic centers, Islamic occasions, programs around the world that are held. There is no Jama'ah prayer. They start at a time that is not pray time, finish at a time is not pray time. So the community, once a week, once a month, they get together for a program. Let's say the occasion of the Shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Yes, they are doing so much sinezani, latmiye, chest beating, anything, marsiye, majlis for Imam Ali alayhi salam. So much talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, but no Jama'ah prayer. And that's why the community members, they don't know how to do the Jama'ah prayer. They are not used to it. What about Quran recitation? Hadith kisa is there, dua is there, and please don't get me wrong, astaghfirullah, I'm not in any way for worship, belittling supplications, dua, hadith, but all of these are recited. But what about the Quran? No. Yes, maybe we put the Quran just as pastime to fill up the gap in the agenda. Before people are starting coming at early time that the reciter is reading for the walls. No one is around to listen to the Quran. The core of the time, the best time of the majlis is not for the Quran. Now, what happens if we have this kind of lifestyle? This is the message that, inshallah, I have here tonight from the holy lips of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ya Allah, Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In such an important night that our holy Imam, Imam Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, who never separated from the Quran and Quran never separated from him, this is the message from the Holy Quran, Surah Furqan, ayah number 30. I say it and with all respect, bless your mouth. Inshallah, by repeating it, it will be registered more in our mind. This ayah really brings goosebumps to us if we really think about it. And I endeavor to give a little bit of explanation about this ayah. I said, and kindly please repeat after me as well. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Quick translation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is said or will say and complain to the Almighty God, my Lord, my Cherisher, my Master, O Allah, my people, they consign this Quran as oblivion. Now, two translations and two interpretations are about this ayah in Surah Furqan. One majority of Mufassirin, they say that the Prophet is complaining about the kuffar and the idol worshippers of Quraysh, complaining to God about them, that, Ya Rab, you have sent this Quran to me, but every time I go to them to read it, Quran even says that the moment they hear the voice of the Prophet reciting some of the ayat of the Quran, either they put their fingers in the ears so that they don't hear, or they just run away like a wild donkey seeing the lion. And the Prophet complains to God, says, Ya Rab, how am we supposed to reach out to them? They don't listen to your words. They are deliberately have taken this Quran as oblivion. Like their lifestyle is the lifestyle of like, I don't want to have anything to do with this Quran. This is one meaning, and it's correct. History proves that, shows that in early time of Islam, when the Prophet was in Mecca, and considering that this ayah is a Mecca surah, that the kuffar of the Quraysh, the Prophet had this challenge of in reaching to them, reaching out to them and delivering the ayat of the Quran to them. And those who heard it, subhanallah, the magnet of the Quran would influence them, even the chief of the Quraysh. In between, before I continue the rest of the ayah, let me share with you one personal experience that, subhanallah, really this holy Quran is nur. And nur, one meaning of it is guidance. It guides itself for those that their hearts are ready to accept the guidance. As Quran says, Hudan lil muttaqin. Muttaqin in that ayah, second page of the Quran, it means as long as they are not stubborn. As long as they are not stubborn, even if they are ignorant, Quran takes their hands. A young lady, some years ago, more than 10 years ago, through one of her Muslim friends, she was introduced to me, came to our center to make some inquiries about Islam. I sat with her, she had some questions about some aspects in Islam. We had a discussion, she left. The next day she came, the next week. For quite a while she used to come, and every time she comes with new questions. During the visits once, I gave her a copy of the Quran, of course in English language, that she could read. And I told her that, why don't you read the Quran? This is our scripture. Or maybe she asked for it, I'm not too sure about it, 10 years ago. But because she kept coming every time with new questions and like a kind of debating, to be honest with you, may God forgive me, I'm confessing now here on the member, it crossed my mind that she's just wasting my time. You know, every time I answer her question, it's just like she's trying to pick up things against Islam. And I was hesitant to continue the meetings. Until the first day of the month of Ramadan, 1 year, I can't remember now from the top of my head which year, but I have it in my diary. She calls me herself and she says that, Sheikh, I want to see you urgently. Having that background, that like kind of waste of time, I was hesitant. Now month of Ramadan, again she wants to come. But because she was insisting, I accepted. I said, okay, all right, come over. I gave her a time, she came again with that friend, Muslim friend. And you know what happens? She tells me that last night I was lying down in bed and the Quran that you gave me was on the shelf. It's just like someone is telling me that grab it and read it, because up until last night I did not touch the book you had given me. It was just sitting on my shelf. I grabbed the Quran, opened it, like randomly I opened, and an ayah came. She read the ayah in English to me. I immediately grabbed the Quran. It would be easier for me to find the reference in Arabic. I checked it. I noticed that she's right. She exactly had read the translation. She said, randomly, I opened the Quran and read it, and this is what it came. I read it in Arabic and translated. Surat Fatir, ayah number 7. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Surely those who disbelieve, there is a severe punishment awaiting them. And those who believe and do righteous good deeds, for them is forgiveness and a great reward. Surah Fatir, ayah number 7. This ayah supposedly came up for her randomly, a non-Muslim making inquiries about Islam, when on the first day of the month of Ramadan. She said, as soon as I read it, I even didn't go to the second ayah of the Quran. I couldn't go even to the second. This is called at-tadabbur, reflection over the ayat. This is what I told that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, I kept reading until I heard it from the speaker, the Almighty God. I said to myself, I deliberately don't mention her name just in case, because that lady now, she's alhamdulillah married to a Muslim, has children. She said, I all of the sudden found myself at the T-junction. Left or right? I just make a name. It's not her name. Sally, left or right? Alladhina kafaru or alladhina amanu? Do you want a severe punishment or you want forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And upon that, I decided it's better safe than sorry. I'm not going to take the risk. And that's why, Sheikh, I'm here. What does it entail to become a Muslim? Before noon time, on the first day of Ramadan that year, she became Muslim. She gave her testimony. And mind you that she knew about Ramadan as well. I told you that she had a Muslim friend who had told her about Islam and things like that. She said that, by the way, I didn't have my breakfast, I haven't had anything yet. Is it possible to start fasting from now? This is the first experience in my life ever. Someone converts to Islam on the day of Ramadan, the first day of Ramadan, and starts fasting on the spot. From that moment, she started even fasting, subhanAllah. This is the magnet of the Quran. Brothers and sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His book, in English translation, can invite this girl, and God knows how many like this, to Islam, imagine us that, inshallah, we believe in Allah, we believe in the Quran. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, at the time of the Prophet, a Bedouin from the desert. Ya Rasulallah, I'm illiterate. And plus, I live far away. It's not possible for me to come to the masjid every night like Muslims learn about Islam. Please give me something in a zip pack. Huh? Like a sandwich form that I can take it home with me. I want to learn about Islam and Quran, but I have only a couple of hours that I've come to the town. The Prophet appointed one of the companions and told him that teach him Surat Zilzal. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يرى. If anyone does an atom weight of good will see it, an atom good of evil will see it. You know what happens? This man, as I told you, that often knowledge, unfortunately, so-called knowledge, education, so-called education, degrees, so-called degrees is an obstacle. Therefore, often the more illiterate, the easier to, like the tablet of this, the heart and the soul is more clean. So this man, as soon as he heard an atom weight of bad, you will see it. Goes to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, is this true? The Prophet says, yes, God speaks. He said, that's enough. I learned my religion. I cannot take it anymore. My brain cannot take it anymore. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? Subhanallah. The Prophet says, and he went back home. He said, I have enough. I learned enough about Islam. Now I know how to live my life. From tonight, my lifestyle is going to be changed. The Prophet says, "Raja'a faqihan." He went back home a mujtahid. He went back home mujtahid by learning one ayah of the Quran, brothers. You didn't need to spend 40 years, 50 years in Hawza Ilmiya. If there is readiness, this is the effect of the Quran. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Coming back to the ayah, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. I told you that the majority of Mufassirin, they say that the Prophet is complaining on the day of judgment or at the time of the revelation of the ayah, is complaining about the idol worshippers, the Quraysh of his community. There is a minority like Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi, they say that this ayah actually is talking about Muslims. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of judgment. So this qala means will say. When you go to the translations, you may see that some translators of the Quran, especially those who are inspired by the opinions of like Allama Tabatabai, that's how they translated. Qala means said, but they translated as will say. And this is not the first time that God is using past tense meaning for the future. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ سُورَةُ الْوَاقِعَةِ. You say, when the event will take place, although وَقَعَةِ is past. But you say that this past means future confirmed, isn't it? It's just like when you ask me to do something, you say done. I have not even got there to do it. Done, meaning consider it done. This is this language, alright? Allama Tabatabai says that on the day of judgment, the Holy Prophet of Islam will complain according to this ayah of the Quran to the Almighty God, Ya Rab, Enna Qawmi, some of these so-called Muslims, throughout the history until the day of judgment. اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. اتخذوا, to take and to consign. It means that was the lifestyle. How? To take this Quran as oblivion. How? They want to get married. Has got nothing to do with the Quran and the tradition of the Quran. They want to open a house, has got nothing to do with teachings of the Quran. Remember what we learned tonight about the Prophet, about the house. They want to open a business, has got nothing to do with the teachings of the Quran. In any aspect, you see their socializations, their appearance, nothing at all about the Quran. Worse than that, I told you, often even holding Islamic sessions has got nothing to do with the Quran. Quran doesn't exist even in their Islamic sessions. They have majlis, but no Quran in the majlis at all. Then the Prophet on the day of judgment will complain about these so-called Muslims and says اتخذ. It's just like they were deliberate to make sure that nowhere Quran is heard, nowhere Quran is practiced. اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. What is the meaning of now I want to kind of maybe see that which opinion we may incline with. Is the opinion of Mashhur that they say that the Prophet has complained about the idol worshippers more correct, or what Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi is suggesting? Humbly, we want to say both of them are correct. Both of them are correct. It's a human nature that we always think black and white. It has to be either or. When it comes to the words of God and words of Ma'asumeen alayhi salam, please remember this principle in understanding the Quran and the Hadith. Not necessarily it has one meaning only and nothing else. You and I, when we speak, you say something and then I understand. No, Sheikh, you did not understand me. Let me explain myself. So when we speak, we mean only one thing when we say, make a sentence, isn't it? There is an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, I'll give you the reference, go and reflect on it. And exhaust the tafasir that you have. In terms of reading them, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 102. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 102, with regards to the story of Talut and Harut, at the time of Prophet Solomon. Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that there are, how many meanings do you think in one sentence could be possibly there? Let me just make it like this. If somebody makes a statement, how many meanings, how many interpretations are you expecting from one sentence, one ayah? Two, three, go up. 100? 200? Go up. Million? I'm not kidding you. Go and check it in Tafsir al-Mizan. 1,260 different layers of meaning for that ayah. How many? 1,260 different meanings for one ayah. Ayah 102, Surah Al-Baqarah. In fact, there is another example in the Quran with more possibility of the meanings in it. Okay? This is the Holy Quran. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam said, ظاهره أنيق وباطنه عميق. Quran, if you read it, the sound of it is so pleasant. You enjoy it. The meaning, dive, the more you dive, the deeper. It's impossible to say that, okay, I got the bottom of, I get to the end of it. There is no such things. Because Quran, as we said, is the manifestation of divine name of Al-Mutakallim. And because divine names and attributes are infinite, therefore the Quran is infinite. There is no limit, unlimited. This 1,260 is nothing when you compare it with unlimitedness. This is what Mufassirin so far have discovered. Don't be surprised. 1,260, that's nothing. Compare it with unlimitedness. The more you go, the more there is. This is the Quran. This is Subhanallah, the Holy Quran. So having this book with us, Subhanallah, really that's what I told, that this ayah brings goosebumps to us. That why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment will complain. What I was trying to say, that it's not that that meaning or this meaning, both of them are correct. Yes, surely historically we know that the Prophet was upset with the idol worshippers of Quraysh, that they were running away from the Quran. But wouldn't he be upset also with us running away from the Quran? That the Quran is recited. Now next week there's a Quran competition here for the children. Let me see how many care to come and listen and watch. Inshallah, everybody. There have to be more participants attending that Quran competition than participants for the Majlis of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Has to be. According to the words of Amirul Mu'mineen himself, Imam Ali alayhi salam, that we mourn for, he says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. Time will come that my so-called followers, they have not taken from the Quran other than the words of the Quran, at best. At best. This is the complaint of Imam Ali alayhi salam about us. My students, my younger friends, boys, girls who want to come to Qom to Hawza study, I urge them, I beg them, I say, please, the first year of your studying in Qom, make sure that you just dedicate your life, mashallah, you are young, sharp, to memorize the Quran. Come tomorrow, you become marja'i taqlid, you regret it that you didn't do that in the beginning. Rahmatullah alai, please say salawat for Ayatollah Khoi and all our great scholars. Rahmatullah alayhi majma'in. One of my teachers who was the student of Ayatollah Khoi, Rahmatullah alai, he says, I witnessed that Ayatollah Khoi in his 70s, when he was in his 70s, started memorizing the Quran. And he used to say that, I regretted that when I was 7, I wish I had done this. So parents, encourage your children from the age of 3 or 4 maximum. That's the time for them to start learning, the best time to start learning Quran, memorizing the Quran. And in that time, the brain is like a sponge. They can grasp it so easily. Let us make a campaign. Ya Allah, I'm sitting here talking and inshallah I want to pass this message to this community as my humble contribution. That next year, this time, the Jama'at in Mombasa, there is no illiterate person about the Quran. We have eradicated illiteracy in our community. Illiteracy about the Quran. Which one is more important? And I'm not again belittling secular knowledge and secular science. How come that when it comes to math, science, and subjects like this, we don't mind to employ a tutor, pay them to teach my children maths and science? But when it comes to Quran, it's not good for a Shia that has degrees but doesn't know how to read the Quran. At least to read the Quran, at least. There's a misconception. Some they say that I don't know how to read the Quran correctly. Is it haram to read it? Astaghfirullah, where do we get this from? On the contrary, we have hadith that you are not Arab. Even Arabs, they don't know, some of them unfortunately, how to read the Quran correctly. But it's not your mother tongue. You don't read it correctly. The riwayat says it's in Usul al-Kafi that angels will elevate it in the best Arabic format because of your intention. Everyone has to have a start. We all have to start from somewhere. Do you have this science here? Driving skills, drinking skills? Excuse me to give this example. The more you read, the more you master reading the Quran. You have to start from somewhere. Start reading it. Today there is no more excuse to say that, Sheikh, we don't have Quran teacher in the country. Alhamdulillah, you do. Even if you are living somewhere very far away, online there are classes that you can learn about reading the Quran, understanding the Quran. And every year commit yourself that next year, this year compared with last Ramadan, I want to get more into Quran. One level deeper, one level deeper. There is no such thing that, alhamdulillah, I need to read the Quran. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says that the best thing is that the moment you finish the Quran, start again. You finish the Quran, one khatm Quran, second khatm Quran, third khatm Quran. There's no such thing that is of, and you are investing for the best dunya of our dunya and our akhira, our children. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So that ayah, qala rasul, ya rabbi, inna qawm takhadu hadha al-Quran mahjura. Please remember it's complaining about us possibly as well. And especially mahjur, hijrat, it means you had something that you did not take advantage of it. We Muslims, we have Quran, but unfortunately we do not take advantage of it often. Quickly touch on this and inshallah go to Kufa tonight. There is again a misconception that some they say that, Shaykh, with all respect to the Quran and significance of reading the Quran, but reading dua is more significant. And we have some ahadith for that, and there is an ayah again in Surah Al-Furqan about it that says that reading Quran, reading dua is more rewarding, and that's why you see we are reading more dua than the Quran. Let us quickly, without going to technicality of it, review this one and see what is the best inshallah answer for that. First of all, with regards to the riwayat, and that's why when people they ask me that, why do we need to have a marja, I tell them that if you are an expert, you cannot have a marja. But my friend, there is 30 volumes of Wasail al-Shia, of all the riwayat. So often we come across apparently paradoxical narrations. If you don't have the skills of how to make reconciliation, how are you going to decide what to do about your religion? Here also we have two categories of riwayat. One category is that apparently the imams, like Imam Baqir alayhi salam, is suggesting that reading dua is more rewarding. Quoting that ayah of the Quran, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَوْ بِكُمْ لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. God says to the Prophet in Surah Furqan, say that God would not pay heed and attention to them had it not been because of your supplication. And therefore supplication is more important. On the contrary, we have also narrations like the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that the Prophet says, أَفْضَلُ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي بَعْدَ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ الدُّعَى. The best action, the best worshipping act of my community after reading Quran is supplication and dua. So as you can see, the Prophet makes dua secondary to the Quran. What are we supposed to do now when you have, and I'm just giving one example of each. How would you reconcile between these two? My humble suggestion for reconciliation is this. Don't ever ask your kids that you love mama more or baba more. Why are you putting the child in this situation? And subhanAllah, instinctly they are smarter than us. And he says both. Quran better or dua better? Why is it either or? As I told you again, look out of the box. Always try to look out of the box. It's not either or. When Imam Baqir alayhi salam is giving an answer to someone, that's his answer. Maybe this person is oblivious of dua. He has, it's like a medication, not a prescription that they give to individuals. This is a very important point in understanding the ahadith. The imams were giving prescription to individuals. He knows my disease and the prescription is for my disease. Doesn't necessarily mean that all the diseases will be fixed with this prescription. Am I making any sense? Proving that is that the best example of worshipping act is what? Namaz. Our daily prayer, Salat. Now you tell me, Namaz, does it have Quran or Dua? Both. Allahu Akbar. Deliberately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put part of our Namaz to recite Qira'ah, Hamd and the second surah. So there is Quran in Namaz. What about supplication? Qunut also as well. It's a prime example of it. Okay? Read the Quran. When you read the Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, you come across so many supplications. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةَ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. It's the ayah of the Quran. More than 20 times we have this رَبَّنَا in the Quran. It's supplication and dua. Go to the supplications of Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam. Subhanallah. We need time to elaborate on this. I just touch on it and come back. Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, something that really amazes me is that they have taken the Quran, swallowed, if I may use the term, the Holy Quran, digested the Quran thoroughly, and produced the dua. All, please, all the ingredients of the supplications and the dua of Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, all the ingredients is coming from the Quran. So dua of Ma'asumeen and the Quran are interwoven. So that I give you a key to understanding the dua. Impossible to understand any of the dua of Ma'asumeen unless you understand the Quran. You need to be mufassir of the Quran to understand the dua of Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam. So it's not either or. We have to have both of them with us. And as I gave you the example, namaz that God has set for us is a prime example. And therefore, you know, I'm deliberately mentioning this because it's the nights of supplications and dua as well. Definitely in these nights, we have to have Quran as well in the month of Ramadan. And definitely, we have to have dua and supplication. Both of them are necessary for our spiritual nutrition. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ya Allah, what's happening tonight and today in Kufa? As I mentioned, right at morning prayer today, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the crystallization of justice was struck. And I can imagine that tonight he is in his dying bed. Every hour, every minute, his health is deteriorating. His face has gone already pale. Subhan la'natullah alayhi. Ibn Muljam Muradi, he confessed and he said that for over a month I was sharpening my sword. I was poisoning my sword to make sure that one strike and I finished the job. As soon as Imam Ali was struck, and of course Ibn Muljam is trying to run away from the masjid, and they arrested him and handcuffed him, they brought him to Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Imam looks at him. He used to be one of the soldiers supposedly of Amirul Mu'mineen. Khawarij used to be part of the army of Amirul Mu'mineen. Yet they went offshoot. Imam Ali alayhi salam looks at him, knows him, and he said that, was I a bad imam for you? Do you know what a crime you have committed? Do you know that you have become worse than the one who has slain the camel of Salih, as mentioned in the Quran? You are ashqal awwalin min al-awwalin wal-akhirin. Yet look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam, subhanallah, look at these lessons. 1400 years later, in the life of so-called civilization, I spoke about this to some non-Muslims, my solicitor and some Christian priests, and the priest told me that, Sheikh Mansour, I felt like Ali ibn Abi Talib is Jesus Christ. His words are the words of the prophets. I said, of course, are all, you know, these are men of God. What did Imam Ali alayhi salam said to his murderer? Says to his son Imam Hassan alayhi salam about his murderer. Ya Hassan, my dear son, he is now your captive. He is now your prisoner and I'm still alive. Nothing has happened to me. Wait to see what happens. If I recover from this strike, it's up to me. And they say Imam Ali would forgive him. But for the time being that he is your prisoner, you got to share your food with him. Don't put his hand on his neck. Let me see if you follow me or not. Inshallah you do. Don't put chains of iron around his neck, around his ankles. What I'm talking about? Allahu Akbar. Years pass, less than a couple of decades later, the children of the same man of justice who was giving this kind of advice about his murderer, now in Kufa, his family are taken as captives of war. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, those Sikh in iron chains, his neck, his ankles, his feet are bleeding because of the heavy metals on his body. And worse than that, Shi'at Ali ibn Abi Talib, our Imam recommended to his son Imam Hassan to share his food with his murderer. But what happened in Syria, in Sham, when the daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam could not sleep, when she woke up dreaming of her father, when she was crying and asking for her father, that Yazid Mal'un, what did he send for the daughter of Hussein? They saw a slave came with a pallet. She thought it's food or fruit. She said, I never asked for food or fruit. I was not hungry. But when the lid was removed, Allahu Akbar, it's a petrifying scene to even describe it. She saw this young girl, she saw the head of her father.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 فاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين